Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Flow Track Podcast. We are recording this live on Friday, whilst the European Indoor Championships are taking place. I'm Kevin. He's Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Got a busy show. How are you doing, Gordon?
It's time for me to confront you.
Uh-oh.
In front of everyone. I was waiting till now.
Ambush. What happened?
I was minding my own business last night.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Minding my own business, just being me, watching sports. I'm watching a basketball game.
Yeah.
And unprovoked, you text me, "What happened to the Sixers?" question mark. In the middle of them going down 20 points. That's like the worst thing you could ever text a friend, man. And I didn't know how to respond. And then I respond with...
expletives.
The Dodgers blank suck, will never win another title, because I had to get it off my chest. I was like, you hit me when I was down and I did not like it, and I wanted to confront you, and I thought we were friends. Why did you send that text? Don't you know you don't send texts like that to someone watching sports?
I was trying to fire up the Sixers and use I was, because when I sent it, they weren't down 20.
No, you sent it when they were going down, giving straight threes.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that. I was just looking at my phone and looking at the score update on the app. Also, it was a regular season NBA game, so I didn't think you'd be that fired up about it. But it was more, I have this ability when I have a friend, or my brother-in-law is a Bucks fan, and whenever the Bucks are down, I'm like, well, guess this is it for Giannis's MVP. You know, really overdoing the overreactions. And then they always inevitably come back and do well. So I actually wanted the Sixers to win that game.
Okay.
Because I wanted the Mavericks
to lose.
As you know, the Spurs have won 2 in a row. We're only 16 out of the play-in, I think. So I want these Western Conference teams to lose. So it was a rare time I was rooting for the Sixers. So
okay.
We were sort of on the same side on that one.
It felt like you were
mocking
me when I was down and I didn't feel good. So then I came back hard.
No. It wasn't at all.
It's like if you were to text like a coach, like at the 5K mark, and their team is like in 20th place in the cross country meet.
Being no, like, it wasn't my intention.
Not looking good for your number 5 runner.
I didn't think they were going to go down 20. That's not where I thought that was going. I thought they were going to have a momentary lull, and you were going to say, they're back. Look, Joel Embiid did this, that, and the other. Sorry. I apologize if that's... Sorry.
Did you recognize that I was upset by some of my reactions?
Yeah. So I just let you be.
I appreciate it.
I didn't text you again until
this
morning.
And now we're friends.
We're still friends. All right.
I just had to get that off my chest.
Okay.
A little inside baseball of our friendship.
Yeah. Jason Christopher Tatum Sr. says, "I need Gordon mad. It makes my day." Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
Yes.
All right.
God damn it. Tatum, too.
Everybody should change their name in the chat to
Boston Celtics players. And
players who are going to beat the Sixers. Okay. All right. Euros. Let's kick it off. We're on day 2. From Istanbul, had a couple finals we want to talk about. Number one, we got an answer to the question that we asked earlier in the week. What was the question? Can Neil Gourley beat Jakob Ingebrigtsen? The answer was no.
No, I think the answer is yes.
The answer was he got kind of close.
Yeah. Can doesn't mean will. Can means can.
He was there.
According to the dictionary.
We thought he was making that big move on the backstretch. We couldn't tell with the camera angle. And
I know.
They cut wide again, and Jakob still had the pole position and held him off going around the curve. 1-3, 32. I thought Gourley acquitted himself nicely, but this is what Ingebrigtsen does. He shows up to big races, and usually you can count on him for a win.
Yeah, I mean, the result that should have happened. He's the better athlete, runner. He's in the prime of his career. But I will say, Gourley, that was like the greatest second place finish I've seen in the past few weeks. maybe not of all time, but
I thought you were going to be real grand with that.
No, no, the past few weeks, because he was able to close basically with Ingebrigtsen the entire time. They ran the basically a equivalent last lap and last 200, which is what you need to beat Jakob at a global championship.
He tried to do the Whiteman play,
yeah,
but it's indoors, a little bit different, a little bit harder to maneuver.
But he's got to come out of this being like, hey, if I'm in better position, if I make a move at a better time, if I'm just a little bit sharper,
mm-hmm.
I can beat this guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a separation in the final 50 meters. It was like a, you know, seeing like a Faith Kipyegon type, like, see ya.
So we have pretty much a wrap now on the pro indoor season after this meet, but it means the men's 1500 portion is over. We have Jakob still in the pole position, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Where do you have Nagus vis-a-vis Neil Gourley? Who do you think had the better indoor season?
I would say Nagus. They raced each other, right? I mean, so it would make weird to be like, oh, Gourley's better, even though Nagus straight up beat him. Nagus went undefeated. I will say, though, like, it's a 1A and 1B between them with – they're not equal. I don't know. It feels weird saying – it's like NBA MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis. Yes, you can rank 1, 2, and 3, and you can assume the third is bad, but they're really all just a 1 separate from the rest of the field.
So you're saying Jakob is 1, and then everybody else is still grouped together?
No, Jakob is 1.
Right.
Gourley and Nagus are alone at 2.
Interesting.
And then everyone else is 3.
Okay. But that could change quickly, Alex. What about like Ollie Hoare?
In 3.
In 3. Okay. Interesting.
What about Josh Kerr in 3?
They're in 3 right
now. Give me another name. The Kenyans in 3.
All of them.
All of them. Every single one.
Whiteman.
3.
Okay.
Actually, Whiteman might be DNS because he's hurt.
Right.
All right. So.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Jakob, then a group of 2.
Yeah.
And then everyone else.
Yeah.
Now those people, they can join that group of 2.
Yeah.
And the group of 2 can maybe join Jakob, but right now?
I think we also look at this, you watch this indoor race with the perspective that he got outkicked last year at Worlds, and you're thinking, hey, someone's hanging around, they can beat Jakob. There's not that air of invincibility. But he did do all the leading, go to the front, and that's sort of how indoor races in championships especially, you know, play out. People try to get the pole position from farther out than they would outdoors. So I think it's positive for both guys. Like, I think Gourley, he doesn't want to lose, but pretty happy that he stuck there. But I think Jakob going to the front and running 3:32, I think is a statement from him too.
Yeah.
We've just seen it so many times from him that it's getting to be routine, and we're more surprised when it doesn't work than when it does.
Yeah. And also, he's just become so good that the story is not ever really going to be him anymore. It's all going to be about who is chasing him.
Right.
And if you think about it, like, the headlines coming out of this year is not Jakob running what he did. It's like, ooh, Nagus. Mm-hmm. Oh,
Gourley. Yeah. Well, because he got beat once, people are going to think in a championship race, people are going to think when he was in really good form.
They want to see it happen again. Yeah.
They just think it's possible, right? You can envision it in your head versus some of these other bigger favorites in other running events that haven't had a high-profile loss yet, it's harder to imagine it happening. But once it does, then I think it changes people's perspective. All right, women's pentathlon. Let's have women's pentathlon. It's been a great women's pentathlon season. You had Anna Hall in Albuquerque set the American record, almost break the world record.
What else do you have? You have this.
Then you have two women break the pentathlon world record at Euro Indoors.
Well, what else have we had?
Well, that's it. That's pretty good.
So you got two things?
Three of the top 4 marks in history in one season. It's the winter of the pentathlon.
But how can it be the winter of the pentathlon if it's only
pretty good.
Happened at 2 meets?
It's pretty good. 3 out of the 4. Nafi TM, Adriana Sulek. TM goes 50-55. Sulek 50-14.
Pretty 5, cool. 5,000 club.
Yeah, 5,000 club. So now, who do we got in this 5,000 club? You have Dobrinska, who had the old record, Anna Hall, and KJT. So there's 5 women in the 5,000 club.
Would you rather have 5,055 points? 5,000, what was it, 30-something points? Was it 5,055, 5,013, 5,004? Or would you rather have 5,000 points?
Exactly.
Like 5,000. I want my PB in heptathlon or pentathlon or decathlon to be number 000.
I was going to say, if you want your PR in the decathlon to be 5, you could probably, you should try to see what you can score in a decathlon. Because the tables go basically to nothing, right?
Do you think I can get 1,000 points?
That'd be fun. Let's see.
How many points do you think I can get in
the Could decathlon? You be one, or maybe even 900, so you can be like 1/10 of Kevin Mayer and Ashton Eaton?
I could be 1/10 of Kevin Mayer.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think we should do that. We should try it. Get the measuring stick
Could
out.
I get 100 points in every event? I could definitely get 100 points.
We have to pull up the charts.
We should try it this summer.
Yeah.
Do you think I could do it?
Well, let me pull up the tables here. Break it down.
What do you think? Like, what do you think I can run 100 in? 15 seconds?
Oh, I'd hope.
Yeah.
You ran that 200 a couple years ago for that AAU thing
so
in 30.
So I could probably run 114 maybe. I don't know. What's a 14-second 100?
That's what I'm going to look. Here we go. Outdoors. So you want to know 14-second 100?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
That's quick, man.
Yeah, I mean, someone
is this with or without spikes?
No. You can wear whatever you want. All right. So a 9.46 in the 100 is 1,400 points.
Okay, I don't think I'm going to get that.
So let's
see. Maybe a little bit slower.
Oh, what's
up? There's no way they have a 14-second 100.
Yeah. No. Hold on. It's still going, dude. It's still going. We're still going. Are you on the table? Yeah, we're still here. 13. Okay, 14 flat. That gets you 221 points.
So me thinking that, maybe I could get 2,000 points.
Well, you have to have, I think the 100 would be your best event. I think things would just get worse as you went along.
What's 200 points in a 1,500?
That's going to take me more time to look
okay,
up.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, I don't know how long
you have to do hurdles. I'm going to get like 0
Well, you got to do it though. That's okay.
I don't think I can get over a high hurdle.
What can you run the 15 in?
Right now? Not fast.
Well, could you run?
I quit running like a year ago.
Let's see. I'll tell you how slow it goes. It stops at 6:20 in the 1,500. That gets you 1 point.
6:20?
Yeah.
I could do that.
All right.
What is a 6:20? Yeah, I could do that.
I think it'd be amazing to try to get 1 point in every... Get a 10-point decathlon.
Get a 10-point... Oh, that'd be fun. And like get it be officially like calculated and get a World Athletics page. I got 10 points.
I want to see what a 1 point 10K is. Maybe I might go for that.
That's actually fun. Ken, how many 1 points can you get in all the tracks? Do you think I can get 1 point in every event?
51:46 for a 10K gets you 1 point. I feel like that's a lot easier to do than a 6:20 1,500, but maybe that's just because.
So we should do a hardest 1 point performances in track and field power rankings. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I'm doing a decathlon. I still have to do my.
David brings up a good point. Pole vault?
I can do.
Well, we got to get the equipment together, though.
Yeah. Maybe I just do a high jump with a toothpick in hand and call it a pole vault.
TBD on this. We'll see how bored you are in the summer.
No, but I still have to do my dunk.
Yeah.
I haven't forgotten about that, just so you know.
People have been talking about it. People are asking about it.
Still got to do the dunk. I still got to do the backflip after I do the dunk.
You said you gave up on the backflip, though.
No. Backflip doesn't start till I do the dunk. Do the dunk, then the backflip, and then also do the 2,000-point decathlon challenge.
I think David's right, though. The pole vault is going to be...
Well, if I get 0 points in one event, I can still make it up in other events.
You're not going to drop out?
No.
Okay. Well, usually that's what they do.
That's what
they bail. And you're an elite athlete.
I'm not going to bail.
You hit a hurdle, you're done. That's it.
What's a 60-second 400?
Something you can't do anymore?
I can do a 60-second 400.
Let me see how slow the 400 gets.
I don't know. I quit running, but I feel like I'm healthier. So maybe...
Too bad dunking isn't on this.
I know, dunking. How many points is dunking? All right.
Hold on. 400 in 60?
Yeah.
What's
a 60-second 400?
You get quite a few points for that.
Yeah.
A 65 gets you 200.
Oh. Yeah, I can definitely get 2,000 points.
Interesting to see how these are broken down. A 60-second quarter would be, here we go, 300 and...
Boom. See, that makes up for the pole vault.
A 60.01, 368. I don't think you can run 60, though. You'd have to do some training to do 60.
Well, yeah. I'll do decathlon training. I'll call up Ashton. Call up Trey Hardy. Call up Kevin Mayer. Call them all up. Trey Hardy lives here, so like.
Well, and we have another.
You can coach me.
We have another potential decathlon connection.
And we have a decathlon who works at Flow.
We just found out. Yeah. So, but you are putting a lot of faith.
A decathlete that works. A former NCAA champion?
NCAA champion, yeah. But you're putting
can
a lot
they
of,
find out in the chat? That'll be fun.
You're putting a lot of faith in coaching. That they can just coach you to a.
They can coach me. We're gonna find. Is he out there right now? He
might be out there. I'm not sure.
I'm gonna get him like, hey, my goal is to 2,000 points in decathlon before the end of the summer.
Women's 60 is on the track right now, so this should be over in about 15 seconds.
Yeah, we're trying to kill some time so we can recap events.
No, we're not.
Before the podcast is over. Do you want to talk about the 3K before the
60? No, it's literally there in the blocks right now.
Let's watch it.
So I want to watch
it. We can't show it to you, unfortunately, but it's on athletics.tv/live. ID equals 631087704812. Go to that URL.
I hope someone does that real quick.
Go to that URL and you're there.
What's wrong, Colt?
Oh, I thought Gordon just leaked his IP or something.
No, that's not my.
I think we're good.
No, we're good. Who do you have in this?
Cam Bungie.
Over under 705.
Under.
She's over under 703.
She's going to run 703. They are away.
She's out quick.
Swoboda's out with her.
No, Kambunji.
Kambunji is going to get Kambunji. It, though. Oh, 703. Get it. Get it.
Seven flat.
Let's see. Let's wait for the correction.
Correction?
I don't know. It's just, I feel like all the times the season have been off, so yeah. You can't get excited. You have to wait.
Seven flat.
Good run for her.
She's broken seven. So
yeah, she's up seven. Equals championship record. Yep, 7-0 confirmed. Swoboda. 709, NADA, 712. Shout out to Europe. We're putting on a big meet.
Shout out to Europe.
We were happy about Europe. Like, they're putting out good races here. I like the Ingebrigtsen's running, and you had Muir in the heats, and Hodgkinson, and Bull, and Warholm. It's just cool to, you know, wake up and see prelim results with actual big names in it.
Yeah,
I
but like you're it. Like giving a congratulations to a body of land.
Continent? Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to them. It's a good meet. A lot of people were happy after the 60. Must have been a lot of PRs. Just like they're all celebrating. Look at this.
Well, yeah.
It's incredible.
They're also probably happy that their season's over. They're like, all right, we can now relax and get ready for outdoor.
Yeah. All right. 3,000. Women's 3,000 was the other race. A little bit of an upset there. Constance Klosterhoffen loses. She gets silver to Hannah Klein of Germany. Klein had a big kick over the last lap.
Decent time too
to get the victory. Yeah, 8:35. They weren't going slow out there. You know, the days of these tactical mid-distance races, I think, are waning.
You were saying that when we were watching the men's 1500s. Like, it's so great that they're actually running, and not, you know, and it's not like they're running for records. It's just like they're going to be tired. Yeah. We want them to be tired. Like, least you can do is get tired for us.
You want it to be a 1,500. You don't want it to be a 400. You want it to be a 3,000. You don't want it to be an 800. Yeah. I know some races are going to be different and strategy and all that other stuff, but things can be fast and strategic, right? The extreme example being the 2015 Penn Relays 4x mile. Was that the year?
16.
2016 Penn Relays 4x mile, where tactical went wrong. The other end of the spectrum, pure time trial. Of course, that's not going to happen in championship race because you don't have a rabbit, but there's a vast middle there where you can get both outcomes. And I know indoor is a little different because of positioning. People tend to go for it from farther out, but it was cool in the men's 1500 and in this race too to see separation. Just, okay, this is the top group, right? Yeah. They've put themselves in a position to let you know that this is the top five or this is the top three, and then they're going for it. And it's just a nice break from the sit and kick era, which we had for a while, because that wasn't too long ago when everyone was thinking, oh, the wing time in the 1500 at Worlds is gonna be at 338, 337, you know, something like that. And then now you're getting these fast times. I mean, Sivan Hassan a few years ago in Doha, obviously Kip Yegon ran really fast.
Do you wish that you lived in Europe or that USA was part of Europe so that you could have European champions?
I wish they were in this meet. Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool to see how the athletes would respond to being in a continental championship where there's a lot of emphasis placed on the results. But U.S. doesn't have that. U.S. is weird because it's the strongest singular country, but they're not in a continent that prioritizes it. So it's tough because they have the least – they need to be in the toughest continent for it to matter, because then there's competition and then it makes it worth it and then people are interested in it.
Or if we turn all of our states into countries, then we can just call USA's the European championships.
Yeah. Wasn't that Okay. Well, that's just like you having USAs, though. You just recreated USAs, but they all have jerseys on of different states?
Yeah, they're all wearing different states. Like, right, you know, Pearly's Texas, Bormel's Florida. That would be fun.
Yeah.
They just have, like, the state flag logo instead of their brand sponsor. I'd watch that. Which state would you cheer for? Would you cheer for California?
Oh.
Or would you cheer for Texas?
That'd be too... Though I wouldn't cheer for a big state.
Yeah, you'd cheer for Rhode Island.
Yeah. Or maybe a state that I lived in that... smaller. Maybe.
You get like, dude, Alaska goes all in on the race walk.
I mean, I grew up
like,
in Nevada. Maybe I'd go there.
Yeah, the pole vault. Nevada's probably really good in pole vault.
Yeah. We got
Florida's good in
sprint.
I feel like Florida's good in the long jump.
Mm-hmm.
California is like the 400. Texas is the 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania is the mile.
And the women's quarter.
Connecticut's the steeplechase.
Okay.
North Carolina is, I think that's the 5K.
Okay.
400 hurdles. It's like in Illinois. New Jersey. That's definitely New Jersey.
Because of Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney. Illinois
New Jersey's also the 800 because you got Mo and Ajay Wilson.
See,
right?
I wasn't going off of where people are from. I was going random. Off like the vibe of that state kind of represents this type of event.
Remember when those maps.
It had nothing to do with the athletes in it.
I don't know if they still make these. They always go viral. Each state's most favorite condiment or favorite saying.
Or fast food restaurant.
We could just create a fake one where it says each state's favorite event.
And
just
we should do that.
Some state.
I want to make that.
Discus.
Just tweet it out and get people talking.
And then you put in bottom and, you know, very, very fine print. Like judge on Google Analytics.
We polled 1,000 people.
We polled Kevin and Gordon and asked what the funniest combinations would be. Because you'd have to, you'd have to go like... And you'd have to zag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Speaking of zagging.
All right.
Great Britain
is
zagging a lot.
I just commended all of Europe, and in particular Great Britain, for sending a lot of the top athletes, or their top athletes, I should say, choosing to compete, to go to European championships. But then we get this news a couple days ago that the head of UK Athletics wants to shrink the amount of participants at global championships coming from Team GB. I have a lot of thoughts on this, Gordon. Some of these thoughts I've said in prior years because other countries have had policies like this. Other countries have famously left off qualified athletes for world championships or Olympics. But I'll let you go first.
Well, no, you're going to let me go first. We're going to let the head of UK Athletics go first. What was the reason why the UK Athletics head of athletics said we are going to limit the team to people who are more likely to medal than less likely to medal?
He said he wants to be more ruthless. He said that in recent championships, the performance hasn't been good, and he thinks they've been getting, quote, too soft.
So in his mind, he thinks if you make it harder to qualify, that means you're going to run hard. He's basically saying he wants to increase the standard, so then you run faster, so then everyone... So then people aren't chasing to be the 30th best in the world. They're chasing to be the 10th best in the world.
He wants to also just pool the resources, right? Consolidate the resources on the top candidates for medals. He used to head up swimming there. And here's the quote. We put it up on the screen there. In swimming, we are a little bit more ruthless about who is going to deliver for you, he told the Daily Mail. UK Athletics needs to be a bit tougher around that. Would you like to weigh in first?
No, I kind of want to weigh in second.
Okay.
I'll let you weigh in. So he didn't really mention much of it being a budget reason, like how much it costs to send an athlete.
He didn't delve into the
because that's like a numbers. Reason why a lot of smaller countries don't send everyone because in their mind it's too expensive to send every single athlete.
Yeah, and I can touch on that in a second, too.
But I think UK Athletics has money.
All right.
Maybe they don't. I don't know.
His job is to do what here? Who's he representing?
The athletes
of
United Kingdom.
Right. So that's your job. You aren't the head of War Athletics.
No.
You aren't the head of the Olympics.
No.
You're not the person booking the hotels.
No. Nope.
Your job is the head of British Athletics. Your job should be to send as many athletes as you can. If they say you get 3 per event, if you hit the qualifying standards, you send 3. You do your best to send 3. If they say you get 17... You should send 17 because your job is to get as many of those vests on TV competing for medals. That should be your job.
Is his job to get as many people at the meet, or is his job to get as many people on the podium?
Well, and that brings me to my next point. The more tickets, the more you're going to win. We can go back through, look at recent history. A lot of people had Jake Whiteman winning gold. It's from Great Britain. Did a lot of people have that? You were looking at the betting odds.
Yeah, they weren't good.
I mean, he wasn't.
Probably like 10 to 1.
Yeah, he wasn't 500 to 1, but he certainly wasn't the favorite. In our country, the United States, we can go back and look at a ton of examples. People who won medals, won gold medals even, who weren't even favored at all.
Emily Enfeld.
Yeah. Molly Seidel. Jenny Simpson back in 2011. Just a few. There's a ton of examples, ton of countries. You got to. This is sports. You never know what's going to happen. You have to send people. In the article, he brings up about Tokyo, coming up short at the Tokyo Olympics, right? Let's look at why they came up, quote-unquote, short at the Tokyo Olympics. I don't think they did, all right?
Well, you have receipts.
Oh, I got notes.
This is great.
This is an issue that just drives me up the wall. And if you're talking about allocating resources, right? Did Keely Hodgkinson lose in Tokyo to Thing Mo because of resources?
No.
No. Did Laura Muir lose to Faith Kipyegon because of resources?
No.
No. Did Whiteman beat Ingebrigtsen because he had more resources?
Maybe. No.
No. It's not resources. They were better on the day.
Yeah.
Right? Let's not complicate this. They were simply better on the day. Allowing more people to go doesn't make your star athletes worse. It's an individual sport. Those two things are not related when it comes to the highest levels of sport.
Like, has there ever been a time where Mo Farah's trainer was like, Mo's like, hey, I need you to massage my leg for me. And the trainer's like, you're not getting it today. I'm going to massage this guy.
Right.
I only can.
The ninth best discus thrower
is getting the massage. Sorry, Mo Farah, you're not getting a massage today.
Yeah. So
no, that never happened.
But let's
just be like, you go at 10:15, the other guy will go at 10:30.
Yeah.
And we're good.
Yeah. Laura Muir is not going to come up short because Great Britain decided to send an extra discus thrower who qualified rightfully. Right?
And that they had to add an extra Gatorade bottle in the tent, and they couldn't have the money, so then everyone got a little bit less Gatorade, so she had a little less electrolytes, which is why she came short.
Yeah.
It's basically.
This is ridiculous, and this is, I know the U.S. is different, right, because the U.S. has medal contenders in virtually every event, so we have a clear-cut, relatively clear-cut, not always. You have to dive into some spreadsheets. Every now and then on Olympic trials. But we have a relatively clear-cut system. Top three, you go. But let's talk about the resources for a second, right? Let's talk about resources. You've been to global championships before.
I have.
I've been to global championships before.
You have.
You think they could make some cuts on who decides to go who aren't athletes?
Oh, good point.
Do you think there might be a few people who are wearing team polos for 10 days who could sit at home? How important is the coach, Gordon?
Yeah.
The event coach.
I think...
You need someone to pick the relay.
I think the NBA All-Star Game coach might be a little more important than the track and field
coach. They have their own coaches. Let me say that again. They have their own coaches. Do you need someone there as a representative? Absolutely sure. I'm not saying that. But you don't need these gigantic staffs that they travel with. So if it's a money issue, the athletes are the last people
to cut
that you should cut. You should send the athletes first. Have a coach text them what to do if you can't afford to put the coach on a plane. And then take care of everybody else later. This is against competition. It's not going to work. It's not going to help anybody. All it is just aligning the simple truth here that some years it's going to be good for you and some years it's not. But not even showing up to play is a recipe for continuing the same mistakes over and over again. Done.
So I agree with you, but let's just think a little bit in this guy's head. What's this guy's name?
Jack Buckner.
Jack Buckner. Sounds like a baseball player. Great photo that he used for him. Like, they definitely, Daily Mail is like, we got a photo of Jack Buckner. This is the photo we're going to show. Show that, Colt. It's great. It's just like him rubbing his eye. He's probably stressed about all the...
Well, it says he's having sleepless nights or financial troubles. Yeah, I get that they're not... Okay, then say that. If it's a money thing, say it's a money thing. Don't say the best way to get gold medals is to only take six people, and it's the six people that we decide have the best gold medal chances. They're not a tiny country with only one athlete. If you had to narrow down Great Britain's team to six athletes to pick the medalists, you'd have a tough time right now. I mean, hell, how hard is it to pick the best three men in the 1500 for Great Britain right now? They are loaded. So if it's a money thing, say it's a money thing and figure out a way to fund it. Get on GoFundMe or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't say this is the best way to win gold medals because it's not.
No. Again, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm only going to try to just be a little bit devil's advocate for the sake of conversation.
Okay. Don't blame me, though, if I get really mad because this issue just bothers me to no end.
So I agree basically with 99.
I'll sit over here. I'm going to sit
over here.
I
agree like 99% of what you're saying, for the most part, 100% of what you're saying. Don't even know what the 1% I disagree with you on is on. But, you know, you never agree 100% on anything, right? You got to always sag it a little bit. But what I got to say is here, there is a little bit of a mindset, though, where you look at the world standards over the past few years. They have dramatically gone up. I mean, been faster.
Yeah.
There was Paul Chelimo, when he was asked to run 13:20 or whatever to qualify for the Olympics, he ran 13:19. Could Paul Chelimo have run 13:09 that year if they made the standard 13:10? Probably, because it's in our mindset with the pacing of standards. You run to just get in. Like, that's how people are. You always do your bare, you don't want to overexert yourself to qualify for the next event, right? And so when the standards have gone up, everyone's like, only four people hit that standard last year. How are more people going to hit the standard? Well, everyone hits the standard because they all decide to run faster. We're going to see it this weekend in a 10K. The 10K standard is faster this year.
Mm.
But guess what? Same amount of people are probably going to hit it because guess what? They're all going to just run a little bit faster because they're going to all do the bare minimum to get in. And I'm thinking, again, this UK athletics guy is thinking incorrectly for the record, but he's thinking, all right, if we make the standard just be hit the world athletics threshold, the athletes are going to compete to get to that world athletics threshold. But we make them, you need to get to an even elite, a higher threshold, which is the Great Britain threshold. It's going to force all these athletes who would have just done the bare minimum to get in, and they're going to go above and beyond. And then that sets up a rising tide of everyone now achieving for even higher greatness, where the goal is now, I want a medal and not, I just want to make the team, right? Because there are a lot of, I agree with most of the things you said. There's one issue that I think our sport has is that there are people who are competing for medals and there are people who are competing for teams. Now, there is something about the moment of making your first team and that's like a not, it's like a, it's a, it doesn't translate to any other sport, right? It's a cool thing, and I get it. I'm not thinking we should take that away from our sport. But there is something interesting about how you go to an Olympic trials, and there's an athlete whose dream is to make the team, and there's an athlete who's saying, this is prelims. And that's – maybe they want everyone to look at it as prelims because their dream should be to win a medal at the world level, not to make a team. And I think if you make it harder to make a team, that means they're going to then translate their goals to make get a medal. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you know, like,
I think that applies more, though, when you're going farther down the list.
Okay.
Oh, you want to make an Olympic trials in the marathon or something. Set the standard at
the Boston at qualifier.
2:19 versus 2:16. We're talking about athletes here that already are well aware of what it takes to win a medal. This isn't going to make them work any harder. All it's going to do, if they actually see this through, because we've seen this with other countries. This isn't a new thing.
Yeah.
All it's going to do is leave people who, they're a long shot, 100-1, 200-1, whatever. But here's the thing. That 200-1, maybe they get experience, and then they come back 4 years later, and then they have championship experience under their belt, and they perform better because of that. Or maybe, if you want to look long-term view, and this isn't the case probably with Great Britain because there's long been British, excellence in athletics. But say you're from a smaller country and you turn down a spot, a country that hasn't had much experience in athletics, you should run at the Olympics. You should run at the World Championships because someone at home will be watching, some kid who's 10 years old, 15 years old, right? I don't want to be too Hollywood here, but that's how that stuff starts, right? And that kid sees, oh, we had a participant in the 400 hurdles. Like, I didn't even know what that was. Like, I didn't even know, oh, shot put, discus, triple jump, whatever it is, pole vault, they get introduced to the sport through these local stories. I just don't think it impacts the people at the top.
Yeah.
And you're sacrificing that next tier down to help these people. You're not helping them. Everybody's already trying their best, right? This is this whole idea that's just like, if we just raise the standard that much more, then magically we're going to snap our fingers and Neil Gorley's going to beat Jakob Ingebrigtsen because we made the standard harder. No.
Yeah, it's not going to turn the fourth place finishers into third place finishers. All it is going to turn the 20th place finishers to did not qualify.
It's an excuse to not show up.
Yeah,
we're going to take our ball and we're going to go home because we can't reach this magical, unattainable standard. And you see in World Cross, how many countries didn't send complete teams or a team at all, right? And maybe it's a money thing, but also it's the idea of, well, we're not competing for medals.
Yeah.
And I get it if you're really hard up for cash, 100%. I get it. Maybe the priorities of your country aren't to send a bunch of runners halfway across the world to run. But if you're a country that prides itself on athletic excellence and you have a history, like, go for it. It's like a lot of these athletes are going to be spot here. So if you're saying, here's, I pulled up the world rankings, top 10 for the women. This is from last year or currently. Asher Smith, Hodgkinson, Muir, Sember, Nada, Ailish McColgan, Lizzie Bird, Lorraine Ugin, Gemma Reiki, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then there's, you know, Johnson Thompson's 21st, obviously, right? So you'd send someone like her on the women's side. So there's at least 10 there, right? Would you say?
Yeah,
and then 4x1 and 4x4.
You're listing a bunch of, what's the point you're trying to get to?
My point is there's going to be a lot more than 5 or 10. So you're leaving off people, theoretically, who are sponsored athletes, who are paid to compete in track and field. This isn't charity work for them.
Did he say it's going to be a hard number of, like, I'm only taking this many people?
No, they never say that. Like that. Whiteman, Hudson Smith, Kerr, Prescott, Zarnell Hughes, Gorley, Zeller, the hurdler who went to Michigan, right? Hayward, Azu, Mitchell Blake is 10. And then behind them, you have people like Mark Scott, Elliot Giles, George Mills, Posse. It's like
Giles can make a final.
Sam Atkin is farther down here. Yeah. We saw what he did indoors.
I have a solution.
The solution is World Athletics it decides how many people goes. If you're a governing body of a country, then you try to maximize your opportunities. It's real simple.
Well, no, I think at the end of the day, though, UK Athletics gets to decide because they're paying for it. They're footing the bill.
And I'm saying we're going to get to a situation, though, where they're not going to give them a spot. Someone's going to say, okay, fine, I'll pay my own way.
Yeah.
And they're going to say no because we have this standard. And this standard is more important than you showing up and competing. So I don't.
Do you think then those athletes could then petition to World Athletics to run as like a non?
No, because like they're
with the country.
They're gonna say defer to you're a member of this institution. I mean,
they then revoke their citizenship to get in?
You're getting a little far ahead.
I mean, that's an option. People transfer allegiance all the time. People could be like, all right, I'm. You don't have to like. Can I revoke my own citizenship? Can I like change my citizenship on my own? I don't have to be an American, do I?
Well, Gordon, I think that would require another country wanting you, so I don't want to get into that.
No, but like, could they just be like, hey, I want to run as an authorized nature athlete? And World Athletics would be like, do you have the qualifying standard? Yeah,
But it shouldn't get to that, right?
It could.
It shouldn't be at that point. What should happen is they shouldn't overcomplicate this thing. I mean, I get he has the experience for swimming and it worked.
But
he
what says I'm saying it worked is in swimming. The way you force the guy's hand is you'd be like, oh, you're not going to invite us.
Yeah,
we're going to find a way to get there anyway.
Yeah.
In a different option. And then there's a little bit of like, ooh, we're losing athletes. Like if they start losing athletes, it's going to do the opposite effect.
My main point is just no one can see the future here. Selection is rife with issues, which is why I like the trials system. And there's going to be some tough choices that are going to have to be made that ultimately are going to end up totally undermining what they came in to do, right? And his whole idea is we need to get more gold medals. We need to get more medals, right? In the article, Great Britain didn't have any gold medals in Tokyo. That's a failure. And what you're going to do is just lower the amount of tickets you have to the lottery.
Yeah.
Because you think it's somehow going to magically make your top tier athletes go faster by bringing fewer athletes in other events. But
I mean, the way they could solve this problem, I mean, the athletes can control their destiny. If like the Dean Asher Smiths and the Nir Gorlies and all the top runners are like, I'm not going unless you let the other two people in my event go.
Yeah.
That would be a way to like,
yeah.
Cause then they're going to be like, if all of them decided to say, we're not going to the Olympics unless you let the other two people in our event go.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hold it. That's going to force their hand. They're not going to say, all right. Like if Dean Asher Smith said, if every of the top medal contenders got together, the 10 of them, and said, we're not going unless you let the other two people in our event also go.
Yeah.
UK Athletics will let the other two people in the event go. 100%.
My last point on this.
But you got to be willing to not go.
Yeah.
Which is hard, but.
My last point on this, and it's very track nerdy, but what would you say? Let's just forecast Paris 2024. So a little bit ways out. What would you say is Great Britain's best chance at a gold?
Hodge.
Okay.
Keeley.
Next, after that.
One of the 1500 meter guys.
Okay. And you don't have to go much farther down the list. I won't make you do it before you get to an event known as a 4x1.
Yeah, 4x1, yeah.
Right? How many people does that use?
Yeah, four.
Right? At minimum. Yeah. You're going to want some reserves, some alternates there. So then you're going to bring six men and six women. And you should. And you should. Even if you don't have the best team. Because you know what? Stuff happens in the 4x1 more so than any other event. And that could be their crowning moment. They could win the 4x1 in Paris. Men and women, right? That could happen. That's a thing that could happen. Men and women. And that's one of that's the event where you bring the highest amount of people for, which sort of just undercuts the entire point of this.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the way to get back is if they all decide like, this is bullshit. We are only going if you invite the number two and three runner in our event.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. All right. Sorry. That went too long. My apologies. And then you know what? Next week, there's going to be an article from like the Toronto Sun about Canada doing this. And I'm just going to go crazy again. It's just going to be my thing. All right. Let's stay on the topic, though, of World Athletics, though. Colt, we're going to go a little bit out of order. We're going to go World Championship buys. And then Gordon's going to talk about prize money controversy. And then we'll come back to Tokyo Marathon. I want to give Gordon a little bit of a chance. So I'm going to move.
Yeah, you've been talking a lot.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's sorry.
Far worse than you.
Sorry.
You're a good podcaster.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Worse. You're not a good friend, though, when it comes to me and my sports. So World Indoor Tour announced their winners, the people with the buys. You can see, bring up here on the screen. If you scroll down, you can see the full list, Colt. So the women, 60 meters, Aaliyah Hobbs from the U.S., 800, Keely Hodgkinson. She has a bye. Will they let her go, though? I don't know. We'll find out.
I think she's on the list.
3K, Halu from Ethiopia. Pole vault, Newman from Canada. Triple jump, Povia from Cuba. Shot put, Mitten from Canada. Men's 400, Dream Richards. 1500, Gorley got it. Nagus could have had it, but chose not to run that race. Mm-hmm. 60 hurdles, Grant Holloway, which should have an asterisk.
But that's a World Athletics page, not our page.
Yeah, it's on our page. It's the World Athletics page because Daniel Roberts scored more points. But for some reason, you only get to score in three events.
True winner, Daniel
Roberts. Don't see where that's written anywhere. I looked, couldn't find it.
Put Roberts in.
High jump, Hamish Kerr, and long jump, Tobias Mottler. So those people are all autos to World Indoors, which is a big deal because you only get to send two per country. So getting three per in your country's added value.
And then the next group will be next year's World Indoor 2 winners. So you could get a buy. But that's going to be tough, I think, for the U.S. athletes because they're probably – if they're serious about it, they might stay closer to home to prepare for USA's.
But if you're thinking like, all right, if you know, you try to zag or zig, it's like, hey, do you have a better opportunity to get in top two in your country or winning a bunch of European meets?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You make the call. I would argue if you're a 60-meter runner for the men –
go to Europe.
You go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't race. Let Bromell and Coleman run the 60 in U.S. and then you zag and beat a bunch of French and British runners.
Yeah, some
6'5'8 guys, and you run 6'5'2 and you're the GOAT. All right. But then we also had some controversy. Back-to-back pods with controversy.
You've been using that word quite liberally these days.
Nah, dude, this is controversy. So did you know that the World Athletics Cross Country has a tour and they have winners?
Mm-hmm.
They announced the winners. Raul Daniel and Lucy Mawa, they were tied for first.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the men's side, I'm not even going to say their names because I'm really bad with names. But
so that's Rodrigo Quisera and Thierry Ndekemenwanyu.
And Jan Schrub.
And Jan Schrub. Yeah. And they all had, you know how many points, Gordon?
3,720. Class. Everyone knows the perfect
Everybody
score.
Everybody knows the cross country.
You know, everyone knows the perfect score in SATs is 2,400. The 3,720.
I want to interview the person who came up with 3,720 being the perfect world cross country tour score.
So this is where the controversy is. So anyway, there's winning the tour, you get prize money.
How much?
So the winning a tour, you get, I don't know how much.
Gordon.
I think it's 10,000?
Come on.
I don't know the number, but you get money for first, you get money for second, you get money for third, and it's less money as you go down. But there's prize money for the top six finishers. Here's the thing. We had a three-way tie on the men's side, two-way tie on the women's side. So let's assume it's 10,000, 8,000, 6,000.
It's because it was close to those numbers based on...
Oh, it was. It was. It was 10,000, 8,000, 6,000 for first, second, and third.
There we go.
So there's a three-way tie.
Yeah.
Should all three of those runners get $10,000 because they all won the first place prize of $10,000?
Yeah.
Or do they all get... $8,000, which is the average of 10,000, 8,000, 6,000.
Yeah. No, I think they all should get 10.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, they're giving them the average.
So they're all getting how much instead?
They're all getting 8,000, but they're all, they signed up to win something where the grand prize is $10,000 for first. Yeah. They got first, and now they're getting $8,000. I guarantee you there's not someone written in the.
They're going to save that money and give it to British Athletics, you think?
Yeah. But like they lost out on 2K because they tied for first. That's stupid. Like, what is like a little bit less gold than gold? Like, what's if you blend gold and silver into like a paint mixture?
Yeah.
Does that the color of the metal you get if there's two people who tied for first?
Yeah, did you just invent bronze?
Is that what gold and silver combined is? If you blend gold and silver together, they don't blend those metals together and give them out to first to Barshim and
Tambiri.
They both got gold, so they both should get $10,000.
I love it. I love your
controversy.
I love that you're beating the drum here. It's terrific. I mean, for me, I would get really mad about 2,000. Now, I'm not a professional athlete, but I don't know how much they make.
Yeah.
So that could be no amount of money for them, or that could be a lot.
Yeah, and it goes with everything. If first gets that, you should get $10,000.
Especially because you scored 3,720 points. That's a legit score.
They had a perfect score.
Yeah.
They also probably should come up with a scoring system that doesn't allow for three-way ties for first. Like, they could have been a little more.
Well, they have.
I have at least a tiebreaker. Like, it's cross-country. They don't even do a tiebreaker.
Runoff?
They should have done, like, runoff or fifth.
Highest place at World Cross Championships?
Yeah, or they should have done, compete? Like, time or something.
No, I can't do time and cross.
No, I should have done time.
Oh, sixth runner?
They should have asked me. I could have done
that. Like, who's your favorite sixth runner and whoever had the lowest score?
Yeah.
Or maybe you write ahead of time what you think your time was going
to
be.
And then how close, you get to it.
Count how many jelly beans are in the jar?
Yeah.
Number of things.
Or they put a tracker on you and see how far you actually ran. And like, oh, you ran the longest distance but still finished well. So, you did less with more.
I mean, there's not that many. How many meets were there?
I don't
know. There's three for each, right? Yeah, Daniel had three outings on the tours with victorious in each occasion.
It's just like, it's not good. If three people can get the maximum possible score, then your challenge is a little too easy. Like, what's the maximum amount of points you can get in a 100-meter dash in the tables?
Oh, well, I closed it already. But it's was over at that. It was like 1,200.
It's like 1,200.
Yeah.
Imagine if three people could get 1,200. That's a bad max. You shouldn't. Your maximum.
Well, because it's
rare.
Cross. There's no time associated with it. They have to make it just place.
No, I know, but like.
So I bet the formula is 3,720 divided by three, or whatever. Right? That's the Or you're, maybe it's average and that's a winning time.
Yeah, 1240.
1400. If you run a 9.46 in the 100, you get 1400 points.
Yeah, imagine if three people got 1400 points.
Same Super. Thing if you run a 41.97 in the quarter.
Anyway.
Or a 4 hurdle of 44.86.
So much controversy going on. Man. I can't handle it.
Are you going to
controversy UK Athletics, controversy over $2,000 in prize money?
All right. Something that's not controversial, though.
Tokyo Marathon.
This weekend, live on FloTrack. Sunday morning in Tokyo. Actually, will be Saturday night here in the United States. Last year, had a great race. Kipchoge, Koskei. This year, a lot of big names, some 203s, some 204 runners there. And they really want to see a Japanese winner in Tokyo. I got this, read the race director's notes there. It said that's kind of the focus. It's incredibly deep. Colt, if you scroll down on that PDF, you can just see the depth of this field. Headlining it, Sisse Lema, Bernard Koech is in there. But then you go down even farther to the Japanese entrance. Now, they did have a blow. Kengo Suzuki, the Japanese record holder, is a scratch. But if you look at the rest of that roster, it's pretty solid. Headlined by Suguro Osako. There's going to be a bunch of Japanese runners in this field, you know, 206, 207s as well. Also in this field, we got an email about this guy, Cam Levins. Matthew emailed in and said, don't sleep on Cam Levins, 207.09. Remember how well he did at Eugene in the World Championship Marathon, finished fourth, and then ran a 60.18 half.
Ooh.
60.18 half in Vancouver. That's Cam Levins. So exciting stuff on the men's side. And this is how the race director broke it down. I read this write-up. This is pretty good. Listen to this.
Ready? I'm listening.
This is pretty dramatic. They will probably start out with 204.30 pace, forming a large leading pack up to the 20K mark. They'll keep each other in check while engaging in a battle of the wills with nobody willing to accept a loss. The question is how the Japanese runners will fare from the 30K mark onward. Will there be a new Japanese record? Will the Japanese runner win the race? As a race director, I'm on pins and needles.
Man, that sounds like an audiobook.
Pretty good though, right? He's like hyping the race. I love it.
Listen to that in the car.
He's got it all mapped out. So obviously you'd expect to see a winner from that top group, but Japan, you've talked about this recently, all the depth there, they could have a winner. Women's side, pretty similar scenario where the fastest times, Ashete Bakary, Rosemary Wanjiru, right? There's some 217s, some 218s, but a lot of depth for Japan, and they're putting a bunch of entrants into this Tokyo Marathon to try to get a winner at home.
Last time a woman won the Tokyo Marathon from Japan was 2011,
mm-hmm.
and the last time a man did it was 2010.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. It's been over a decade on both the men's and women's side. So
should be a good race. Again, and everybody who follows the sport knows how big road running is in Japan. Tokyo Marathon, one of the biggest races out there. So keep an eye on this race. And if you're in the U.S. or
live on Flow,
Canada, correct?
Yeah. Evening. Yeah. Saturday evening.
Yeah. It's perfect. Last year, it was real nice recording that live show.
Yeah, with Kipchoge.
And then a couple months later, I think we did London, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did London.
We're doing London live this time. And I'm the week before Penn.
And I'm preemptively tired. You didn't do it with me last time.
Oh, I did.
Cahill did it with me last time.
I'm going to do it this time.
And Cahill was in Greece or something like that on like a great time.
You're going to be I'm going to be even worse time. I'm going to be in the East Coast time zone for that. I'll be home.
Might even be. Yeah, that is worse.
It's going
to
be worse.
I was going to say, I might have to fly to Hawaii for that.
Do you think we could expense a trip to Hawaii for that podcast? Yeah. Like, hey, just like sleep schedule. It's like really important to me. So I got to be in Hawaii for this podcast.
I need to be at my best. And the only way to do that is to guarantee that it's not. It's so, because you think about it on paper and then you.
2 a.m. to 4 a.m. is hard.
Wait, what was the one? What was the race that we did recently?
Berlin. That was 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.
That's what I was thinking. It wasn't London. It was Berlin.
Yeah. Yeah. We had Mountain Dew. We were both at my house.
Yeah, and I bought a Deliveries, bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I had a mini pecan pie.
It was fun.
We had to try to just get a bunch of party. Sugar.
It's good times before you started sending me mean texts while watching
that
sports.
That was the last time I've been to your house. So, all right.
Other news. We still doing over-unders. So, if you're listening, we got our over-unders still going. NCAA update. Parker Valby has been a medical scratch. looked like her. She was going to be, like, you know, in contention to go all in the 3K, going up against Tui. But it kind of makes sense when you look back now at her season. She only really ran once, I guess twice. She ran twice.
DMR and a
3K. DMR and a 3K, but yep. She didn't run SECs. So you're thinking maybe there's something up. Maybe it's keeping her super, super fresh. But looks like she's dealing with an injury and is not able to compete, which is a bummer because it would have been great to see a rematch of Valby versus Tui. Makes Tui's double a little bit easier. Still going to be hard, but a little bit easier. Maybe she still does the DMR. I don't know. I don't think she's going to do DMR. But yeah, anyway, no Valby in the 3K. Hurts Florida's team title chances. Mm-hmm. They're still one of two between them and Texas on the women's side, but losing a potential 8 to 6 points is going to hurt them. They're going to have to make it up elsewhere with Diggs and the other athletes they got. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Mike Holloway's like, I got to find 8 points somewhere else. He will. He'll find a way to get 8 points. But yeah, Texas, Florida. Texas getting a little happier. Florida's like, oh, we got to put together. But hey, Florida did without Grace Stark outdoors. Mm-hmm. They can see if they can do it without Parker Valby indoors.
Hope she's better. Hope she gets better. Love watching her compete. One of the bright young stars in the U.S. So hopefully she'll get healthy and be ready for outdoors. Any other scratches that you noticed? Or was that the main one?
I know
Monday they have to lock it in, right? And then we'll get heat sheets.
Dude, so. I broke that story.
Yeah, that's what you do, Gordon. That's what you do.
I just break stories like that.
Something like that.
I refuse to tell you my sources.
Over under.
But if you look at, you can this figure week, it out.
Monson.
Let's update on the records.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Start over again.
Yeah. There's probably a new listener now who's like, who are these guys? What's over unders? We got to explain what we've been doing. We've been doing ongoing over unders. We started this, didn't think it would last this long, but it has. We're going to take this to the end of the year.
This is week 8, so I actually looked it up because I want to keep writing it in the title when we post it. And I look. Oh, wait, maybe it's 7. Dang, I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah.
But I was trying to keep weekly tabs on
it. But you're doing pretty good. You're 17-12-1. I'm 12-17-1. And we got 4 opportunities here for me to make a comeback. We got Monson and Kincaid in the 10K. We're doing Monson over under 30-10.5 and Kincaid over under 26-55.
So that's faster for Monson than the American record.
What's the American record? The
American record is 30-13.17. So I'm saying she's going to go well under it. Kincaid, I'm basing that off of they're saying they're going to go out 27-10 pace. So I just dropped it a few seconds. What do you think? What do you got?
Under.
Interesting. I guess I should have gone first because I was going under too.
Hey, I'll stick with it. You got stick with it.
I'm going to pick the same thing as you the rest of the year and then coast to a 5-point victory.
No, well, we make sure that can't happen because I'll be able to pick before after you sometimes. All right, so we're both going under. I'll add to the thing.
I try to actually pick what I get in trouble when I get goaded into going the other direction or when I don't follow my heart. I got to follow.
Always follow your heart, man.
Yeah, well, you're the one who talked me into a push for the Grant Holloway, Daniel Roberts march.
You went for that? That's on you, man. That's on you.
Big swing.
That's on you. All right, next one. I like this one. PRs for Ball, Warholm, and Keeley. Mm-hmm. So Warholm already ran.
Not the final.
How many rounds are
there? He ran a heat, didn't he?
I think he ran the final.
I think I was looking at just...
Did he already run?
No, I'm almost positive he didn't run.
Are you sure? He's run... I saw a tweet where he ran two other three rounds.
I mean, let's try to look this up.
Look this up. You're killing the over-under segment.
I'm pretty sure. See, you just make me... No, that was a semi, dude.
Oh, there's a... he had to do three rounds for this thing?
Yeah, this goes to Sunday.
Okay.
Is this your first track meet?
It's my first track meet. First track meet. Okay, Bull, Warholm,
Keeley. Runs on Saturday. He runs again Saturday.
Over-unders, 0.5. What's his PR? What's Warholm's PR? We're talking indoor PRs, right?
Well, let me...
This isn't easy. It's just basically Will Warholm PR is what you're asking. Bull's not breaking the world record, and Keeley's not running faster.
You're short on those two. I don't know.
Nah, dude.
What's his PR? Personal best... Outdoors 44.8.
We don't care about
indoors 45.05.
Okay, I know what I'm saying. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'm going over.
Damn it, though. That's what I'm doing, too.
Uh-oh, it's going to be a boring week. All right, last one. Jakob Ingebrigtsen's margin of victory in the 3K.
I'm just doing opposite of you.
1.5 seconds. I think it's going to be real tactical again. So I think someone's going to stay just under that. So I'm going to go under 1.5.
And I'm doing over.
Do you want to add in another one so that way we can...
Yeah, because you kind of disagree some more. For me.
All right. Tokyo Marathon race winner. He said 204.30. They're going to go out that pace.
Over under Japanese race winner. 0.5 Japanese athletes winning the race.
Well,
Japanese...
Winner. I mean, I wanted to go with Kengo, but he's scratched, winners. Man.
0.5.
I'll go under.
I'm going to go under as well. Let's add another one in there.
I thought you wanted to go in the opposite direction. No.
Just give me another one.
I was just saying, do a time. You know, do 204.30.
What other events are happening this weekend? Isn't there like the ECAC thing happening?
I don't know.
IC4As? Let's do
over under scratches for Monday.
No, let's do like a weird one where we're going to say the 10th place finisher of the men's 10K. Will his last name be start with the letter that's over or under?
Why don't we just pick a time for the
10K? No, I want a chaos one. Will it be over or under M?
Last name?
No, you can't look. You can't look. You can't look.
What do you mean I can't look?
No, that's cheating. No, come on.
Over. I need to look. I need to figure out who's going to get 10th.
No. Okay, fine.
I get to figure out who gets 10th. Okay, so over under what? What's M?
Did you just Google the 10? There's no way it's going to pop up.
I know. I just... Come on, Jesse Williams. We need more descriptive names here. All right.
Over under last name of the 10th place finisher starting with the letter M.
M, okay. So who's going to get... 10th. So it's gonna be, oh, this is the US one. Hold on, sorry, I'm on the wrong one. World men's 10,000. Is it gonna be Ben Flanagan?
Wait, M is, there's a lot of, it looks like it's gonna be over. All right, I'm gonna change it to
you're gonna move the line up.
I'm gonna change it to first name. There's a lot more chaos because everyone's last name is above M. So, yeah, first name.
Under. So I'll take A through K, would it be?
That's over.
Oh, okay. I'll take the beginning alphabet. You taking the end?
I'll take the end of the alphabet.
Yeah, this is easy. This is easy money. Safest bet.
First name. We're doing first name.
Yeah, first
10th name. Place, first name. This is what degenerate gamblers do. They start gambling on random things. So we have 10th place... First name. And we're going...
So, yeah.
Letter M. You're doing...
I get K, though, right? You get M. You get M through Z. I get A through K.
A, B, C, H, I, J, K, L,
M. Sorry, L. I get A through L.
You get A through L. And I get M. I get M.
Yeah, you get M.
M to Z.
Yeah, but I get... Are there any... I got Kanta Shimizu. And I get Bam Eidenshank. And I get Aaron Benfeld. Easy money, guys.
You get look.
You get Zach Panning.
Zach Panning's a good one. Zach Panning sounds like a 10th place finisher.
Ahmed Muhammad. You get McGordy. You get Deaver. You get Nils Voigt. I get Ben Connor. Kincaid's not going to.
There's a lot more people with a letter who starts at the beginning.
I know. That's what I count. Look at this. Is my month. Like right here. This four.
All right. We're doing. Let's do. And we're doing one more.
For the women?
Women. 10th place for the women.
Let me see who's going to get 10th. Same thing, first name? Or, yeah, first name?
I'm just doing opposite of you. You pick and I'll do the opposite.
Yeah, I am going to go, I'll go the opposite. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go
okay.
In Thursday. This is productive. This is great. Holy moly.
All right, this is fun. We got it in there. That's the pod.
Yeah.
I need to just get some like lottery tickets going with the, get back.
I know you're game. Gonna yeah you're gonna win on this stuff, which there's no skill involved, but that's okay.
10th place, first name. Wouldn't it be great if you could gamble on that type of stuff?
In
real life.
Yeah,
it'd be amazing. All right. Is there anything else? That's the pod. We'll be back Monday. What do we know our schedule yet for next week?
No, Colt.
We're going to plan our schedule on the pod?
Yeah. Colt, you there?
Colt, you there?
What's up?
Yep.
You're out next week, right? The whole week?
I'm out Monday, Wednesday. I could be there for Friday.
Could you do Tuesday, Thursday?
Nick will be covering.
Could you Tuesday, Thursday? No. Okay. Well, we're out of producer.
Could you do Thursday? You can't do Thursday?
No, I'm booked all day Thursday.
Gordon's going to be in Albuquerque Friday, so.
All right, we'll figure it out. Mm. We'll definitely be doing Monday.
Yeah, we'll do Monday.
We'll definitely be doing Wednesday, probably. We'll get Nico to do Wednesday. We'll figure out, though, the
Friday might be Thursday.
Friday might be Thursday or Friday night, or we'll figure it out.
Okay. Talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Subscribe. You got to tell people to subscribe.
Thanks, Colt.